those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them.
Let us hold that line as we move through today's reflection on the gospel.
One morning, many years ago, a woman in her late 30s, born Jewish, but identified as atheist, for no earthly reason, and these were her words, for no earthly reason, wandered into an Episcopal church in San Francisco, and somehow, through the Spirit, or curiosity, or Lord knows what, received Holy Communion for the very first time. She came forward to the rail, stretched out her hands, and accepted the gift that we offer and celebrate together each week, the body and blood of Christ. Nobody knew she wasn't a baptized Christian. Only God knew in that moment what she absolutely was, a beloved child, like every one of us. And God turns away no one. She was curious, hungry for something, and open to experience the words that she heard us profess, that we recite at this table, come, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Come, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant. And she did. And thank God we are not to judge. Thank God no priest at the rail checked her credentials to receive this gift, because what happened next was a miracle and a blessing to thousands upon thousands of people. It was life-changing for her and for countless other literally hungry people. From that one day, a ripple effect began, and it continues to this day and well beyond. She received the body and blood. She was transformed. She created. She served God by spreading love and hope inside and far outside the church, welcoming all to her table. The woman's name is Sarah Miles. I've been thinking of her story this month, as week after week we move through the Gospel of John and we hear the words repeated, I am the bread of life. After Sarah's experience receiving communion, she wrote her story, a memoir called Take This Bread, a radical conversion. A radical conversion indeed. Sarah was a food lover at heart, an avid cook, who had experienced the powerful connections that people make when they break bread together. Sharing food mattered to her. She speaks vividly of what that very first taste of bread was like for her. And in her description, it makes me think of watching a baby experience something for the very first time. Something that maybe we all take a bit for granted. Have you ever seen the YouTube videos of babies tasting lemons for the first time? Very funny. Or the first time that babies feel grass? It's really incredible to see their reaction to touching and feeling and sitting in grass. What's truly heartwarming are the videos of babies and children receiving glasses for the first time, who for the first time can see something more clearly than ever before. It's absolutely profound. Sometimes I'm afraid we go through the motions of what we're accustomed to experiencing. Sometimes I think we come to the communion rail that way. But today, let us stop and ponder more deeply the gift and the experience that this incredible meal symbolizes to us and can inspire in us. Let's imagine putting on glasses for the first time today and be open to what we can see more clearly. When the Jewish followers heard the words from Jesus in John's gospel that we heard this morning. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will have eternal life. Many, many of them fled. Can you imagine? Perhaps you too cringe just a little bit when you hear it said in those words the way we heard it today. I'm looking at the few children in the room. They're not blinking, but I wonder if they too, how they hear that. If that makes, I think children, I know mine, it makes them cringe a little bit. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. But this is metaphor. Just like you are the sheep and I am the door, so too is the flesh and blood of Jesus. Understood as a metaphor, the plain truth is that this saying that Jesus offers us today and his followers, in its plain truth, is that to receive the gift that Christ has to give us, to really experience the power within it, we're asked to feed on him. Meaning, absorb his teaching. Absorb his character, his mind, his ways. And as we begin to pattern our ways on his ways and pattern our thoughts on his thoughts, for those who were here last week, you know I preached on that word, pattern. And you can go back and listen to that sermon online if you want to catch up and connect it with this. But as we pattern how we live on the example that Christ is for us, when we begin to embody that WWJD attitude, what would Jesus do? Then here is the miracle. Then we can be and can do what without him we could not be or do. Then we can be or do what without him we could not be or do. And we begin to see more clearly. It leads us into new territory. When we come to the table and receive, it strengthens us, it lifts us up, it keeps us alive, it gives us hope, it reminds us of God's forgiving grace. And this intangible, metaphorical partaking of the bread of life sparks in us an invisible change that in time becomes and can become visible. It changes us. That's the point. It holds the power to do exactly what it intends to do, which is change us and change the world for the better. Sarah Miles was inspired after one taste. She acted on an idea that because she, in all that she was in that moment, that day, was welcomed and loved and fed here, that she would welcome and love and feed others. So she went to the rector of the church and she proposed a food pantry and she was turned down. But that didn't stop her. She kept at it. And eventually she was convincing enough to be supported in her cause, and she created, literally as she tells the story, from one taste of bread and wine, she created a food pantry called the Food Pantry at St. Gregory of Nyssa in San Francisco that runs to this day, and every Friday night they give away groceries to 400 families in need. But what's truly amazing is that they give the groceries away from the table, literally, physically, from the altar table. That's where they lay the food. Sarah tapped into the power of food to not only feed hungry people, but also to connect community. Because in 1995, what she experienced at the rail was transforming. And in 2006, she wrote, "Take This Bread." I love the time span there. It's a reminder to me, you know, things take time. It didn't happen overnight, but she followed her heart. And Sarah says in her words, bread is the mechanism for understanding ourselves as part of one body, not just private individuals. She's gone on to write two more profoundly wonderful books, and she became the director of ministry at that church for 10 years, I believe, and she speaks worldwide, inspiring others. I've never met Sarah. I've never volunteered at that food bank. I wanted to and had plans to go, and I still hope to. And all are welcome there. I'm not really trying to promote her books or food ministries per se, but my aim is to remind us all that when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and when we together celebrate the Eucharist in prayer, that one action can inspire us to great things beyond our wildest imagination, beyond our fearful limitation. This is like a you go girl sermon. I mean, look at what she did. I'm utterly amazed and inspired to the core. In writing this sermon and in being in the town of Jackson for the last several weeks as a visitor from New York, I've also been inspired and touched by a story from within your own community. And maybe many of you who are parishioners of St. John's in Jackson know Willie Brooks. Is he here today? Because that would be great. All right. He grew up in the church with his parents, Amy and Herb, and all parishioners of St. John's. And as I've been told, Willie, as a teen for his Eagle Scout project, he started a food pantry some 20 years ago that runs today. And what's beautiful is that it feeds as many people on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays as are fed here and there at our rail and at our and from our table on Sundays. I mean, also an incredible inspiration. I look ahead to new ministries in Jackson and in the areas around and in your towns, because this room is full of people from all over the country and world. I wonder what is being inspired to help others. And I look to new ministries in New York City that I am being drawn into. And I admit that I am stuck and I am a bit afraid and daunted. And I sometimes think about the ideas and the ministries that I know that I'm being called to there. Sometimes I think that's preposterous. How could I? How could she? How could he? But we're not alone. Because I, once upon a time, sat in an office with the Reverend Jimmy Bartz in California, feeling the same way about a call deep inside of me to pursue ordination to the priesthood. And I said to him, that's preposterous, right? And he said, no, it isn't. And I'm here today in gratitude and as an example for us all, even for myself, a reminder of what else we can do and what else we can help other people to do. So let's today come to communion together with an intention of rekindling the ideas that we have that really are truly from the Spirit and that are full of love and will help other people. And maybe they're grand ideas like food pantries that help and serve hundreds of thousands of people. Or maybe they're a little bit smaller, but really not so small. Maybe they are letting go of a wrangle. For those who were here last week, you know, a wrangle is a long, unresolved argument. Letting go of a wrangle with somebody that you have and forgiving them. Maybe it's forgiving yourself for something. Because all of these actions from love, can and will lead us into new territory with clearer vision. Maybe a radical conversion like Sarah's, like Willie's. There is a big surprise ending in her first book. I'm not going to spoil it. But there's also a big surprise ending from today, from right now, from this room. And we don't know what that is yet. But be sure that it can transform others and change the world. And I really want to point out that it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how able-bodied you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You have ideas that matter. And with help, because we're not alone, they can and they will come to life and help and serve others. So come, take this bread.